Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prajagacharya Astato Sri Shishimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prajagacharya Astato Sri Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, canto 3, chapter 19. We'll be reading a couple of verses as they don't have purports. So I'll read from text 2 to text 13. And then we'll chant text 14 together.
Tata sapatnam mukhatas charantam akuto bhayam jagan notpatya gadaya hanav asuram aksaja.
The Lord, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprang and aimed his mace at the chin of his enemy, the Hiranyaksha demon, who was talking fearlessly before him.
Sahata tena gadaya vihata bhagavat karat vighur nirta patad reje tad adbutam eva bhavat.
Struck by the demon's mace, however, the Lord's mace slipped from his hand and looked splendid as it fell down whirling. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully.
Sa tada labdha tirthopi na babde nirayudham manayan samride dharmam vishvakshe nam prakopayan.
Even though the demon had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of single combat, thereby kindling the fury of the Supreme Lord.
Gadayam apavidyayam hahakare vinirgate manayam asatad dharmam sunabham chasmarad vibhu.
As the Lord's mace fell to the ground and a cry of alarm arose from the witnessing crowd of gods and rishis, the personality of Godhead acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarshan discus.
Tam vyagra chakram diti putra dhamena swaparsada mukhena visajyamanam chitra vachotad vidam khe charanam tatra samasan swastite amum jahiti.
As the discus began to revolve in the Lord's hands and the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants, who had been born as Hiranyaksha, a wild son of Diti, there issued from every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and they cried, "May victory attend you. Pray dispatch him. Play no more with him."
Satam nishamyata rathangam agrato vyavastitam padmapalasalochanam Vilokya chamarsha pariplutendriyo krusha swadanta chadam adasat chvashan.
When the demon saw the personality of Godhead, who had eyes just like lotus petals, standing in position before him, armed with his Sudarshan discus, his senses were overpowered by indignation. He began to hiss like a serpent, and he bit his lip in great resentment.
Karaladamsra chakshurbhyam sanchakshano dahan eva abhiplutya swagadaya hato asti ahanadharim.
The demon who had fearful tusks stared at the personality of Godhead as though to burn him. Springing into the air, he aimed his mace at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, "You are slain."
Padasavyena tam sadho bhagwan yagna sukshukara lilya mishta chatro praharad vataram hasam.
O saintly Vidura, while his enemy looked on, the Lord on his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest.
Aha chayudham adhatsva gahatsva tvam jigitsasi iti ukta satada bhuyas tadayan vyanadad brisham.
The Lord then said, "Take up your weapon and try again, eager as you are to conquer me." Challenged in these words, the demon aimed his mace at the Lord and once more loudly roared.
Tamsa apatatim vikshya bhagwan samavastita jagraha lilaya praptam garutman eva panagim.
When the Lord saw the mace flying toward him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent.
Saporushe prati hate hatmano mahasura naichad gadam diya manam harina vigata prabha.
His valor thus frustrated, the great demon felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of Godhead.
Jagraha tri sikham shulam jvalaj jvalana lolupam yagnaya drita rupaya vipraya bhicharan yatha.
He now took a trident which was as rapacious as a flaming fire and hurled it against the Lord, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, even as one would use penance for a malevolent purpose against a holy brahmana. So we'll read text 14 together.
Tad ojasa daitya mahabhatarpitam chakashad antakha udirna diditi chakrena chicheda nishata nimena harir yatha tarkshya patatram ujjitam. Tad ojasa daitya mahabhatarpitam chakashad antakha udirna diditi chakrena chicheda nishata nimena harir yatha tarkshya patatram ujitam. Tad ojasa daitya mahabhatarpitam chakashadanta khaudirna diditi chakrena chicheda nishata nimena harir yatha tarkshya patatram ujitam.
Please chant. Should we continue, Prabhu? Okay, we'll read the synonyms and then translation as the verse is coming up. Tat, that trident. Ojasa, with all his strength. Daitya, among the demons. Mahabhat, by the mighty fighter. Arpitam, hurled. Chakashat, shining. Antakhe, in the middle of the sky. Udirna, increased. Diditi, illumination. Chakrena, by the Sudarshan disc. Chitcheda, he cut to pieces. Nishata, sharpened. Nimena, rim. Hari, Indra. Yatha, as. Tarkshya, of Garuda. Patatram, the wing. Ujitam, abandoned. Translation. Hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The personality of Godhead, however, tore it to pieces with his discus Sudarshan, which had a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off a wing of Garuda. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The context of the reference given herein regarding Garuda and Indra is this. Once upon a time, Garuda, the carrier of the Lord, snatched away a nectar pot from the hands of the demigods in heaven in order to liberate his mother, Vinata, from the clutches of his stepmother, Kadru, the mother of the serpents. On learning of this, Indra, the king of heaven, hurled his thunderbolt against Garuda. With a view to respect the infallibility of Indra's weapon, Garuda, though otherwise invincible, being the Lord's own mount, dropped one of his wings, which was shattered to pieces by the thunderbolt. The inhabitants of higher planets are so sensible that even in the process of fighting, they observe the preliminary rules and regulations of gentleness. In this case, Garuda wanted to show respect for Indra, since he knew that Indra's weapon must destroy something he offered his wing. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So what we are seeing in these verses is the transcendental warfare between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Boar, and demon Hiranyaksha. Now for many people, when they read these verses, they become a little bewildered. How is it that the Supreme Person, the Supreme Godhead, is appearing in the form of the boar and fighting with the demon, engaging in warfare, in activities? Usually people have this conception that in spiritual life there are no activities, there are no varieties, there are no emotions, there are no forms involved. It's all just homogeneous oneness or something. Because on material plane, because of living entities attempts to enjoy and exploit matter have been frustrated, living entities just becomes averse to having any kind of relationships or activities or varieties on the material plane. So when they think about spiritual life, then they think of the negation of what they have experienced in their material reality. So if there are varieties on the material plane, then there should be no varieties on the spiritual plane. If there are relationships on the spiritual plane, then there should be no relationships on the spiritual. If there are relationships on material plane, then there will be no relationships on the spiritual plane. So people usually have this conception of spiritual life means just emptiness, just voidness, no desires, no emotions, no activities. But when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we come across the reality of the spiritual realm. We see diversity and variegatedness even on the non-material plane. How the Supreme Personality of Godhead arranges His energies to enjoy for His supreme pleasure. And over here, we are reading how Lord Boar is fighting this demon to exercise his tendency to fight with someone. Because if the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to fight, he wouldn't just fight any ordinary person. So he sends his own devotees to perform this devotional service to fulfill the desires of the Lord. However, coming from a material mindset and bringing those material conceptions, we impose those things when we read Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though we are practicing bhaktas, devotees, but subconsciously we have this mindset or tendency when we read Lord Bor fighting the demon in outer space and rescuing the planet Earth from the depths of Garbhodak ocean. Is this for real? Is this mythology, or where are we? What are we getting out of this? How will this help us in our material endeavors, in our struggle to live in this world? But we understand from the Vedic literatures, which are the authority. Again, we have to remember that we have to accept someone or something as an authority. If not the Vedic literatures, then we'll have to accept the material scientist as the authority. And as many of you would know, that even material science keeps changing and they don't have any substantial conclusive evidence for any statements or any experiments they make. But on the Vedic literature side, we get praman, we get evidence for everything that is being presented. So, in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read, Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagwan iti shabdyate. For the learned transcendentalists who are aspiring to understand that supreme ultimate truth, they know that absolute truth in three different phases. This non-dual substance is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. And so, depending upon our position in understanding and approaching the absolute truth, we see the supreme absolute in three different phases. Brahman, the all-pervading spiritual light, the homogeneous oneness. Paramatma, the localized presence of the super soul, of the supreme personality of Godhead within our own hearts. And Bhagwan, the supreme person, Krishna, from whom everything is emanating. So, for a devotee, it is very easy to understand the absolute truth. Why is that? Because he's taking knowledge from the supreme authority. And when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam with that mindset, with that mood, then it becomes very easy to understand the absolute truth. So only devotees can understand that the absolute truth is the supreme person, having forms, having activities, having a personality, having characteristics, having pastimes. And this supreme person is Krishna, as Parashar Muni explains, that Krishna is Bhagwan because he possesses six opulences in fullness: all riches, all strength, all fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. One could say that they have some of these things partially, but nobody could claim that they have all these six opulences in fullness. So Krishna comes down in his various incarnations to annihilate the miscreants who expands and propounds irreligion in the society, and to protect his devotees. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Parityanaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadeshkritam. But more importantly, Krishna comes down to give pleasure to his pure devotees by performing his pastimes. As Sukhdev Goswami says in the first canto, second chapter, Leelavatara Nato Deva Tirya Naradishu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead assumes various incarnations and performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. And only the devotees, pure devotees, can be situated in the mode of pure goodness. Vasudha Sattva. So Krishna actually can take the designation or the label of being the supreme content creator. Nowadays there are so much information and content on social media, on internet, Netflix, Hulu, Prime, whatnot. I was visiting my cousins in Seattle for a work meeting, and believe it or not, people who don't have devotional service, all they can do is watch TV and play video games and chat and so on and so forth. So just to adjust the social scene, I had to bear with them for a couple of hours sitting in front of the TV and, okay, what would you like to watch? There's Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, Prime, and so much content that is provided to us. I remember in my college days, used to be my addiction of watching a lot of different TV series. And the trend was that you just sit down to watch a series and you don't get up until you finish the whole thing. So you start off in a season, there would be a couple of episodes and 1 hour each, 10 episodes, and straight for 10 hours straight, you just go back to back, have your snacks, have your lunch, just all arranged. I remember the other day, Archita Prabhu was talking about in his days how he would read books at night, and you know, that for him was spoiled days. Feel like that was more so in mode of goodness. However, in my days, was just fully immersed in ignorance, would go on internet at 10, 11 at night and finish off by 4, 5 a.m. in the morning, and then if we want to sleep, go to sleep and then wake up at 1 or 2 p.m. and that was college life for us, or for me, for many of us. So we see that the living entities have the tendency, they love watching content, movies, novels, action, thriller, drama, different varieties, different diversities. But here we are seeing how Krishna is creating the supreme content for us. What benefit do we get by consuming content on the material plane? Just get more and more shackled and entangled in the material conception of life. Being more engrossed that I'm this body, and my goal is to fulfill this body, to make this body look good, have good reputation in the society by acquiring different accolades and certificates and designations. And as Sukhdev Goswami says that in second canto, Pashyan api na pashyati, that the living entity has seen all this and has experienced all this, but they still don't learn. So we have had different experiences in material life. However, we never learn our lessons. And we keep watching content. We keep in touch with material sound vibrations. And all it does, it entangles us and shackles us. In fact, I was at UCLA yesterday giving a talk to students about mastering the mind, how to live in harmony. And while talking to the students, it's really sad to see that having no alternative lifestyle, having no authoritative knowledge, they have nothing to do. So all they can do is go on Netflix and go watch TV or social media, because there is no supreme content that they can absorb themselves in. So we should feel very fortunate and lucky that Prabhupada, in the form of his books, has given us so much content which originally is coming from the Supreme Person, Krishna. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidayantostya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suhit Satam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So this is our process of bhakti yoga. Submissive oral reception. That is all we have to do. We try our best. We dedicate our life to properly hear the Hare Krishna mantra, the sound vibration of the Krishna mantra. And similarly, we submissively want to hear the pastimes and the instructions given by stalwart acharyas in Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we do that, as the verse goes on to say, that for a devotee who just submissively hears the pastimes of Lord Krishna, Krishna himself cleanses the desires for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee. And so we understand that Krishna is sitting in our hearts. He is not inactive. Krishna is acting. He's helping us. Although we might not see it, but when we look at things in the right perspective, under guidance, we can see how Krishna is all the time helping us by changing our desires, by changing our perception. As we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about these amazing devotees, how they are behaving in times of reversals, in times of crises. And as we read through these pastimes, very in a subtle way, desires comes that, yes, one day I want to be like this, where I can behave in such a manner. How the dealings with the devotees are. And Krishna notices that okay, you are wanting to have this, so I will give to you, and I will orient your lifestyle, I will provide you opportunities through which you can learn. So when reversals or tough situations, difficult situations come to us, we should take advantage of that instead of blaming Krishna that why is this happening to me. You should feel fortunate that Krishna is giving us this reversal for me to learn and grow. And just like a parent would scold the child, would punish the child, his or her own good, similarly we understand that definitely there is some plan that Krishna is putting us in this situation. As Prabhupada amazingly says in Bhagavad Gita in second chapter, in one of his purports, that for a devotee, when reversal comes, they see those reversals as just a token reaction, that I deserved much more, but my Lord is so compassionate and merciful that he reduced that reaction. And when happiness comes to us, then we feel gratitude. We thank the Lord and we thank his devotees that we are able to execute devotional service in the proper way. So sometimes Krishna comes personally as an incarnation, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representatives. And here we are seeing the incarnation of the Supreme Lord as Boar. And in the coming cantos, we will read about appearances of the Lord in different forms, like fish incarnation, tortoise incarnation, half man, half lion. So one thing that we need to understand is that in all these different incarnations, when Krishna is appearing, although some of these apparently material forms, like form of a boar, might seem to be disgusting or very wild and not very attractive, but when the Supreme Person incarnates in his different forms, he maintains those six opulences. He maintains his supreme beauty. He maintains his supreme knowledge and renunciation and so on and so forth. So, we are seeing the dynamics of how Krishna is enjoying fighting with his devotee, how he is playing with the demon Hiranyaksha and having an exchange in the rasa of anger. And we will go on to read how Lord Bor Varaha fulfills the prayers of Brahma by killing the demon Hiranyaksha, and the demigods attain the victory over the demon Hiranyaksha. So we'll stop here, and if anyone has any questions.
Thank you for a very instructive, thoughtful class. It's very inspiring. One question came to my mind. Can you give some advice how to be grateful to Krishna, you know, throughout all day? Tips?
One can be grateful when one sees that they have received more than they deserved. And when they see that they have been given so much, although they don't qualify for so much love and care with the devotees, through coming in contact with the knowledge, coming in contact with Prabhupada's books, seeing how our life has completely transformed within a short span of time, automatically one should feel gratitude. One day we should all sit and analyze, put down a list of all the amazing things that have happened to us by coming to Krishna consciousness. And then we will be able to feel in a very natural and organic way gratitude for the devotees, and of course for Prabhupada and for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you. We'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki.